All right. Good morning to you this warm, hot morning. Been a hot week, man. I just wanted to take some time this morning, and I know that we've been going through the book of James, and some of you will probably come in here this morning to continue the study in the book of James, but we're going to take a week off this week from the study, so you got a whole nother week to read chapter 3 of James. Okay, we're going to do next week 1 through 14, I believe, is the verses next week, but today I wanted us to kind of just hit the pause button for a little bit because, you know, there's a lot that has gone on for us this week. First of all, Wednesday, you know, we were meeting over here for the Valentine's banquet, and right before, well, throughout the day, most of you probably saw the news, and the news of this mass shooting that just, you know, 80 miles from down the road, I think is what Google says anyway, just not very far. And you know that there were, I believe, 17 that had lost their lives, and young people, and some teachers and others, you know, in that group. But, you know, I haven't made it a secret, I guess, for a long time that God really places young people on my heart. And he's given me, I guess, just a little bit of a heart to continue to just reach out to them and share with them, because I know that's where I grew. I grew most as a Christian when I was just learning how to live. Learning how to live every day. I know that it's vital that we are taught from a young age the importance of this right here, of God's Word, okay? This is an important part of your life, and it's something that we need every day of our life, okay? And a lot of our kids, we're not taught that. And maybe we don't have that at home, or maybe our parents, we get busy, you know, and different things go on. But I believe with all my heart that it's vital for us to teach our kids the importance of God's Word. That a relationship with Him has got to, it's going to grow. It's going to get stronger the more I get into His Word. The more that I see how much He loves me. If you question, God, where are you at? God, how do you love me? Open His Word, and He continues to speak it over and over that no matter what you see, God's here. No matter how you feel, God's here. No matter how long of a week it's been and how many of your loved ones are in the hospital or sick, no matter all these things, God is here. And He's not going anywhere. That's what the Lord has placed on my heart to take a little bit of a break from our James study, just to serve that reminder, you know, because I know that I've needed. I know that once news broke on Friday, you know, of a young man that is, you know, has a lot of family here on the reservation, and some that have spoken to me today and even through the week of, you remember John, Jimmy in school, you know, and different things. You had classes together. It hurts, man. It does. To see young people pass away, and it's hurtful to our hearts, because that's not the way it should be. And I've been grieving. I've been grieving a lot in my own time, and I know that things are hard for me. I can only imagine what it's like for a parent in that situation. The hurt, the pain, and maybe some of you've asked, what's going on? What in the world is going on in this world? And that's what happens a lot of times is a lot of times we get faced with these circumstances, these situations in our lives where if we're not careful, they will cause us to question God Himself. God, are you really there where you say you are? God, are you really capable of handling all these things going on in this world? God, do you even see the hurt that I feel? We start to question all these things, and it brought me back to this one, the most, I think, important for myself personally, the most important message that God has ever laid on my heart is one that has to do with those feelings that a lot of people feel right now. Having questions. Not understanding why things happen the way that they happen. And I want you to know first and foremost this morning that there's some things we just don't know. Okay? We're never going to understand it. They just happen. And we must put our full trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart. No matter what goes on, do not let your faith waver. It's important, it's vital that is not shaken, that our faith is one that's able to withstand these storms. Some of you may, when you hear the news of different things that have happened through the week, you get questions, you're puzzled. I like to, that's what God's laid on my heart is this message that has helped me so much in my life is when things happen that I don't understand, how do I get through them? How do I continue to keep my eyes on the Lord and fight through the hard things? Because if anyone's ever lied to you before and said that once you become a Christian that life is easy, let me just tell you straight up, they lied to you. Don't believe it, because all of us are going to face a hard day. You may be there today. There are families that are there today that trust and know Jesus Christ. But when those hard days come, when these things happen in life that we don't know why, it's vital for us to be reminded of the goodness of God. And I wanted to relate that to us by way of a puzzle. And if you have your Bibles, I'm going to read this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you can find your place there. We'll get into that in just a minute. But I remember a while back, I was introduced to a word from Chelsea back there in the back. She introduced me to this word. Well, I don't think she remembers it, but I remember distinctly that it was her that used this word confuzzled. And I was like, confuzzled? What in the world does that mean? And I got to thinking about it. She didn't tell me the meaning because, again, it just happened in passing that she said that she was confuzzled about something or I was. I don't remember the context of our conversation, but there's a lot of times when we get confuzzled, right? What does that mean? It's when you're confused and puzzled all at the same time, right? You ever been confuzzled before? You just don't understand what's going on in your life, and it leaves you wanting to scratch your head, wanting to ponder what in the world is going on. I don't understand what's going on in my life. A lot of times, if we were honest, we get puzzled in our faith. What's going on? Why is this hurt present in my life? And it leaves us puzzled because sometimes things will not be the way that we want them to be, okay? You've all been there before, right? Life is not where you want it to be. First thing you do, God, what's up with this? What's going on in my life? It doesn't make sense. Are you truly there? And the way that God put this on my heart to share, it's very simple. How many of you like to put puzzles together? Anybody? It's a good time killer, right? You got a couple hours, and it takes a long time to put some puzzles together. I think the biggest puzzle I ever put together was, what's this one? 500 pieces, probably about 200. I didn't put this one together yet. But I don't know how you put together your puzzles. I know that I'm the type of person that puts together the outside first, right? You pull all the end pieces out of that box first, and you know that this has got to go around the outside somewhere. So I pull all these flat pieces out, and I set them to the side, and I start to put them together that way. Some, like my wife, what she likes to do is she likes to get all the pieces that have green in them. Okay, she pulls out all the dark green pieces. To me, that just takes way too much time. But she pulls out all the dark green pieces and puts them over here, all the pink pieces, puts them over here, and all the yellow pieces. And then she starts to put together a bunch of little puzzles before she gets to the big puzzle. Some of you, I don't know any other way, but maybe you put your puzzles together a different way. But I want you to know this morning. No matter how you put the puzzle together, one of the vital pieces of the puzzle is what? It's this piece, right? The top of the box. Because I can have all the pieces in the world to a puzzle, and if I don't know, if I don't have a clue what it's supposed to look like, doesn't make sense, right? I'm going to be wasting my time trying to figure out how this puzzle is supposed to work. Now, let me tell you this morning. I'm going to share this truth with you. In life, you know what you're going to get, right? Puzzle pieces. Puzzle piece will represent your circumstance. Hard things that happen in your life. Maybe it's the good things that happen in your life. You're going to constantly, every day of your life, you're going to get a puzzle piece, and you're going to say, what in the world am I supposed to do with this? I imagine the families that have lost loved ones in the past week, they've been given this puzzle piece of life, and they're saying, what in the world am I supposed to do with this? But you know what the truth is? The truth is all through our life, we're going to get these puzzle pieces. But you know what we don't get? We don't get the top. You know who's got the top? God's got the top. And so we're going to get dealt these different pieces, and we're not going to know where they go. What do we have to do? We have to trust that God knows what it's supposed to look like. That he knows that even with all this pain I feel, that he's going to use it because he's got a perfect plan for it. I don't know. This is so, I question all these things that happen, but God knows where it goes. That's the point number one that I want to make is in life is we get the pieces, God's got the top. Listen to this scripture, and it describes it so better than I could, I guess I should say. Okay. This is the NLT version of the Bible. It says this in 1 Corinthians 13:12. Now you're going to see these two key words I want you to think about. There's now and then, okay? Now and then. You'll see them underlined in the scripture this morning, but listen to what the Bible says. It says, now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. Now, pay special attention to those key words, now and then. And what the Bible tells us is now we are not going to understand everything that's going on in our world. Right now we have questions and we got these pieces and we look in the mirror and it's like, I'm puzzled. What am I supposed to do? But the Bible promises us that there will be a then where you're going to understand everything you've ever faced in your life. All those questions you've ever had, the Bible says now you don't know it, but one day God will show you. He'll show you that he's had this the whole time. No matter how many confusing pieces you get, God's got this part. And so what do we have to do? The hard thing that we have to do is when we get these hard things, whatever hard thing you've been dealt, I don't know what it looks like. Maybe you were given this puzzle piece and your marriage that was once the greatest thing in your life spirals out of control, right? On the brink of divorce, you're given that puzzle piece and you say, God, what am I supposed to do with this? Maybe it's those loved ones in your life. Young people. We're burying young people. It hurts. We get these pieces and we look at it and we say, God, it doesn't make sense. If it's up to me, I want to get this piece and I want to chuck it in the trash, right? What am I supposed to do with this? Maybe your piece was your plans. Maybe you had planned to grow old and you can finally enjoy grandchildren, but maybe a doctor walked in the room and said, no, not so fast. You got cancer, and to be honest with you, it's pretty bad cancer. Maybe you have loved ones that have been dealt that puzzle and they're like, what am I supposed to do with this? Doesn't make sense to me. But when we're given these pieces, we have to trust that God's got this. This morning, do you trust that God's got this? And when you're handed these, that I know he knows what he's doing. Even if it's painful, even if it hurts, I trust God. That's what I want us to look at this morning, is how in the world do I live in the now and trust him for the then? How do I live now and trust that he's got everything under control? It's not easy. But I want you to know that God, there's a story. If you have your Bible, just turn with me to the book of John. Matthew. Matthew chapter 11 is what we're going to read this morning. And it has to deal with, the point number two that I want to make this morning is, don't doubt in the dark what God has shown you in the light, okay? Because I want you to know that that's the first thing that we do. When something dark happens, first thing we do is question, God, where are you in this situation? But we can't doubt in the dark what God has already shown us in the light. When he's shown us our goodness, we can never go and question that when a hard thing comes. Because if you read his Bible, it constantly reminds us that a bad day, a hard day, it's going to come. Test our faith a lot of times. Causes us to examine ourselves. Where am I going to run? Am I going to run to God, who I know has this part of the puzzle? Or am I going to run to substance? Am I going to run to relationship? Am I going to run to everything else but the one I should run to in the first place? Matthew chapter 11. Well, let's just start reading. What it says in verse 2. It says, now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples. Let me stop right there. We're introduced to this man named John. It's important that we know who this John is before we continue on, okay? Who is this John that the Bible speaks of in Matthew chapter 11? And I want you to know that there's this man, his name is John the Baptist, okay? Now, if you don't even know anything about John the Baptist, let me just give you some of John the Baptist's, some of the things that are written in the Word of God about John the Baptist. Number one, if you were to read John chapter 1, It's a very short illustration story of when Jesus came into the world. It talks about him being born and coming into the world. But right after that, it goes into starting to talk about John the Baptist. It says that God sent John the Baptist to prepare the way for Jesus. So God chose John the Baptist to prepare the way for Christ. Just remember that. Now, if you don't know anything about his family, John the Baptist had a mother's name. Her name was Elizabeth, who just so happened to be the cousin of Mary. You know who Mary's son was, right? It was the Christ, Jesus. And so, John the Baptist had a second cousin named Jesus Christ. Remember that. The Bible says that along the way, when they were both grown, well, actually, let me go back. Another thing, whenever Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist in the womb, and Mary was pregnant with Jesus in the womb, when Mary and Elizabeth came together, you know what the Bible says?
The Bible says when they came together for the first time, the baby that was inside Elizabeth, who was John the Baptist, jumped for joy inside the womb because he was just in the presence of Jesus. That's something that's amazing to me. But then you fast forward a few decades and they're starting to be grown, and John the Baptist was preparing the way. He was fulfilling the scriptures that were spoken about him, and he was baptizing people. He had these disciples, but he said, greater is one who's coming after me, who I'm not worthy to untie the shoelaces on his sandals. And Jesus comes onto the scene. John the Baptist baptized Jesus. He was the one that baptized Jesus. And when Jesus was brought out of the water, you know what happened? The Bible says that the clouds and the sky opened up. And the voice of God spoke and said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. And so knowing all those things about John the Baptist, I think it's safe to say that John the Baptist knew who Jesus was, right? I can imagine baptizing someone and having to open the heavens open and God verbally speak and say, this is my son. How more clear can it be? But you notice that second part says that John heard. Where was he at? He was in prison. He got a puzzle piece. So here you go. You're in prison. When we get puzzle pieces, a lot of times, we speak from the circumstance, right? We speak from where I'm at right now. We speak from the pain. We speak from the brokenness. We speak from the dark place I find myself in. John the Baptist did exactly that. Spoke out of his circumstance. What did he say? Next verse. This is what he said. John Baptist said this, sent this word to Jesus. Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? John the Baptist knows who Jesus is. He knows without a shadow of a doubt who Jesus Christ is, and that he is the very Son of God sent by God himself. He knew it. But he was in prison. Life wasn't the way he wanted it to be. It was hard. He was about to be executed. And he spoke out of that circumstance.